Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. What is up, my friends? Welcome back to another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Today's guest is going to crack you up. She's got such an interesting story, and we're going to get into all of that. But first, let me fill you guys in with a couple really cool things. So the first thing is we have got a ton of amazing guests coming up, like some serious rock stars that are not all necessarily how to pay off debt, how to save money. I know that's important, but there's this whole other side of personal finance, and that's increasing your income. And so a few of the guests coming up are going to show you how they have increased their income, some in the tens of thousands of dollars every month, and some in even the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, that sounds crazy. $100,000 a month is so, I mean, that's a shit ton of money, but they're going to share with you kind of what they're doing to get to that level. So it's going to be really awesome. And stay tuned for that. Those are going to be coming out, probably in about March or April-ish. And until then, stay tuned every week because we have some really freaking amazing guests. Speaking of the show, so show ratings are really important for podcasts. I don't know if you guys know that, but super, super important. That's how your show gets rated. That's how people will look at it and see if it's something they want to be a guest on the show for, is based on those reviews and then the downloads and subscribes and all of that fun stuff. So if you haven't done so already and you really want to help the show out, I would so appreciate it if you left a review on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever the heck you listen, leave a review and then make sure you subscribe. That subscribing piece is so critical for the show and it really does mean the world to me. Okay, speaking of meaning the world to me, I love seeing your guys' money wins. They are so awesome and so inspirational, and they totally rock. So let's go ahead and shout out today's money win. It comes from Nick in the Facebook group. Nick says that he started an HSA, a health savings account plan, and he is going to be funding that as well as his retirement. So he actually moved all of his stocks and all of that fun stuff over to Betterment.com, which is actually what I personally use for my investing as well. So I'm a big fan of Betterment. Open a Roth IRA and start funding that today. Like, do $100 a month. You don't really need a lot. But that was Nick's money win. So congrats, Nick. That is so awesome. I'm really, really proud of you for doing that. And congrats on the engagement too. I'm even more excited to see how you and your fiance plan a budget-friendly wedding. That's going to be really cool. If you want to be shouted out on this show for your money win and your kick-ass accomplishments, make sure you share your money wins with me by tagging me on Twitter, on Instagram, or in the private Facebook group, and use hashtag moneywin for a shout out and the recognition you so deserve. That's one of my favorite things to do, is brag about you guys. I'm serious. Okay, let's dive into today's show. Today's guest is Melissa Thomas. Melissa is the founder of MelissaTheCoach.com, where she writes about money and helping people pay off debt and getting their financial life in order. So here's the cool thing. Melissa discovered Elton John when she was just 14 years old, and she set a money goal of being able to go see as many Elton John concerts as she possibly could. So far, in case you're wondering, she's at 36 Elton John concerts. Like, what the crap? It's impressive. It's amazing. But in this specific episode, we talk about the goal of paying off debt by the time she was 40. That was kind of her big thing. Why Elton John was her biggest motivator for paying off debt and living a financially savvy life. What she and her husband had to do to break 20 years of bad financial habits. It's a tough thing to do sometimes. We talk a little bit about how Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University was her saving grace, and how that was just exactly what she needed at that time in her life. And we even go into the hilarious story of how she started a dog sitting business. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so excited to introduce you to Melissa Thomas from MelissaTheCoach.com.
Yeah. So I got a lot of good feedback on that, but I was like, gosh, like, I don't want people to feel that way. So like, you know, so my focus is on like, let's help people, you know, kind of go backwards to what did you want to do when you were little? What was your dream? Mm. You know, and then when we become adults, we shove the dream down either because people tell us it's stupid or it's crazy, or we learn to believe that we're not good enough. We don't deserve to have that dream because that dream is for somebody else, you know? Right. So, and I go back to, you know, my dream of meeting Elton John. I was 14 years old the first time I ever heard like a whole album of Elton John. Like I had, goodness. I had heard bits, you know, like bits and pieces, you know, obviously like listen to the radio. And of course my dad had the album. So, you know, and that kind of thing. And it was a Goodbye Yellow Brick Road album. And it was a cassette tape.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, yeah. And so I just remember like putting the cassette tape in because I had read, you know, the song titles and I was like, these are kind of cool. Like, I don't know who this Elton John guy is, but I'll listen to that. Cause I grew up loving music. I mean, we were listening to all kinds of music. And I just remember like just this overwhelming feeling that I got of, oh my God, like who is this person that created this music? Like, this is the most awesome thing I've ever heard in my whole life. So of course, being a 14-year-old female, you know, this was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and going to a Catholic school because I'm born and raised Catholic, and Elton John is my most favorite person in the whole wide world. Yeah, it didn't really go over very well, you know. So, you know, I kind of went through, you know, even early on, I kind of developed this attitude of like, well, I don't care if you don't like it. That's just what I love. Ooh, and, you know, that sort of thing. So that was, was good. But on the other hand, it, you know, it just made me the odd person and the odd rebel. And the, yeah, was, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, it's funny because I went through business coaching at the last 6 months of last year. And one of the things she said to me, and she said, think back to when you were 14 and you heard that music and then you started like learning about who Elton John was and what, you know, because of course I like had to find out more about him as a person. Right. And she's like, I'm willing to bet that as a 14-year-old girl being raised in a traditional, you know, very traditional family, very traditional values, Catholic, all that kind of stuff. There was a small part of you that was like, oh, I'm going to really piss a lot of people off if this becomes my favorite person, you know, that kind of thing. And I was like, yeah, kind of, you know, and she's like, so, but that's what makes it special because you're like, hey, this is my thing. And I don't really care if you don't care that, you know, I don't care, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so of course, then I went to my first concert and after that, it was just like, forget it. Like, this is what I'm going to spend my whole life doing. So I went to my first concert when I was 19. And ever since then, everything I have done in my life has always been, well, how does this help me get to the next concert? Or how does this help, you know? And so, you know, when I did a public speaking thing a while ago and I said, so of course, when I went to college, I picked the highest paying profession I could pick, which was being a high school teacher, you know, so, you know, that kind of thing. But it was again, like I fell in love with the idea of teaching and because I'm a helper person, you know, so it was a natural thing for me to go into teaching. And so, you know, so then of course I have no money because I'm a teacher, you know, and still working extra jobs, but I had no idea how to budget. I had no idea. Like, I didn't have the financial foundation to be like, okay, well, if I get a job teaching, I should probably get a condo with a roommate so I can split the rent. I was like, no, no, I'm living by myself. I'm going to do this by myself, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, that strong Irish stubbornness really comes out sometimes, you know? And so I lived by myself for a long time. So I just always lived paycheck to paycheck, but I thought it was normal because all my other teacher friends were living paycheck to paycheck. So like, I never knew that living outside of a paycheck to paycheck lifestyle was a normal for people, you know, kind of thing.
Melissa, so, what was the debt composed of?
Our debt, it was $43,544.
To the penny.
And it was, six credit cards because I got my first credit card when I was 18. And they were always so nice to keep increasing my limit every time I got
the nicest.
So nice, you know. And then, so six credit cards, two vehicle loans because of course, you know, we both had to have brand new cars. And then my student loan. So I had my student loan for 18 years total.
Dang, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one probably felt really good to get rid of then.
Yeah, we paid off Sallie Mae at 9 o'clock in the morning of my 40th birthday and called into the Dave Ramsey show at 2 o'clock that Perfect. Afternoon. So yeah, we cut it really close, but we did awesome. It. Yeah. So
talk to me about that then, that process of getting out of debt and staying focused. And I mean, what'd you guys do? What worked for you?
The budget process. The Financial Peace University program is what really worked. My husband was the reluctant spouse, so he kind of just came along because I asked him to, not because he was really interested in the process. But we made it work, you know, and so, and over time of me showing him that we were actually staying on budget and paying things off, and he was like, hey, this stuff really works. I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, yes, it does. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, you know, so, but it was number one, the budget, but most importantly, it was changing our mindset of getting out of that mindset that we had to keep up with the Joneses, you know, that we had to have the brand new cars and the fancy clothes and the, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And that really was hard because, like, in my case, it was changing 20 years of bad money habits, you know? So that's hard to change a habit. And it's really hard when everyone around you is like, why are you getting out of debt? Why do you want to do that? Everybody has debt. There's no point in getting out of debt because you'll always have debt, you know? So with all that going on in my ear, and I'm like, well, because this is what we want to do. So we started Financial Peace University on January 1st of 2010. And the rock bottom for me was that December having to put Christmas on a credit card. Ooh. And not just one, but three, because I didn't have enough money to put Christmas on one. So I had to split it up between three cards, you know. And as a Christian, it really bothered me that at that point in time in my life, I had totally lost the whole meaning of Christmas, you know. And so it was like, you know, I'm sitting there because our boys were 5 and 4. So they were expecting Santa. Like, you know, we had to make sure the magic was there on Christmas morning, you know. And so I had just totally gotten sucked into that, you know. And I can even now vividly remember sitting at the computer and, you know, I'm on Amazon and I'm dropping stuff in the cart and all this other kind of stuff. And just having this overwhelming feeling of like, this is wrong. Mm-hmm. This is not right, you know. And so again, you know, the stubborn Irish in me, you know, I'm like, okay, I know this is wrong, but I got to have Christmas. I got to have Santa. So I'm going to do this, but I promise I'll make it better. You know, like gotcha. You know, I'm like having this whole conversation with God about like, he's trying to tell me this is not right. And I'm like, yes, but you don't understand. My boys are 5 and 4. Santa has to come. And so, so I'm going to do this, but I promise I'll do something about it, you know, so that I'm not in that situation the following year.
So, okay. Talk to me about your mindset though. How did you switch that? Cause that's huge.
It didn't really take a long time because I knew that I had to change it. You know what I mean? Gotcha. So, for me, it was, in order to take Financial Peace University, you have to pay for the course, and it's $99. And we had to buy the online course because there was not a class available locally at the time. And I knew I had to start January 1st. I knew I couldn't wait until a class, you know, because then I would be like, I got this. I'll figure it out. Like, I just had to be like, January 1st, I got to get going, you know? And so I had to make it work because we were living paycheck to paycheck at the time. So I took $99 off the top of a paycheck.
Gotcha.
So my husband got paid December 30th. And on January 1st, I took $99 right off the top. And then I was like, well, there went $99 we didn't have, so I got to make this thing work, you know, that kind of thing. So it just became, that became my focus, that became my job, you know, was just to do this FPU thing. And I'm a very strong type A personality, so as soon as I figured out that once I was done with one lesson, I could go ahead to the next, I think I did FPU in like 5 weeks. I watched all this because I was just
incredible.
And then I was, you know, reading blogs and I was learning how to coupon and I was, I mean,
oh,
I was.
Oh, it was a combination.
Yeah, I was just doing, I just threw my, because I jump in the deep end of the pool and then figure out how to get my way to the shallow end, you know, because I really just became, you know, obsessed with it, for lack of a better word. But again, like, I just knew I had to make it work. And we did not know the amount of debt we had until I started FPU. We just had no idea that that number was so big, you know, so, but it made a lot of sense once we figured out that that was that big. It was like, well, no wonder we're paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. So is that one of the tips you would give someone that's like trying to get out of debt, is just become aware of how much you actually have?
You have to. I mean, that's what I tell my clients all the time. They're like, I can't even add up all that stuff. I'm like, you have to, like, you know, if you're going to sit down and do something, you have to know what you're dealing with. And I know it's a big, scary thing to have to do, but you cannot put a plan of action in place until you know what you're dealing with, you know? And so that's why the writing down the budget is so important. And with, you know, like, don't tell me your cable bill is, oh, I think it's $150. I need to know if it's $150, $145. Like, yes. I need to know exactly what it is. So, you know, I said, we can deal with rounding up later, but for right now, I need to know the exact number, you know.
I love it.
Yeah. So it was just doing the budget, and I did the budget every 2 weeks because that's when my husband got paid. Okay. And so I figured out that the really aggressive plan was to be debt free by my 40th birthday. Mm-hmm. The math never worked out. Like, every time I did the projections, we were always like $3,000 or $4,000 short, you know, but mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, but maybe somehow we'll figure out how to squeeze another $3,000 or $4,000 out of that. And, you know, just the diligent prosper is just over and over and over again. As you know, I tell people all the time, like, is you stay focused and you do what you're supposed to be doing, things happen. So, like, my husband would get a bonus every year, and he would get a raise every year. Mm-hmm. I started a dog sitting business while we were trying to get out of debt. And it was because somebody called me and said, my friend hired a dog sitter and they canceled on her last minute and she's leaving tomorrow to go out of town. You have 4 dogs. You dog sit, don't you? I dog sit.
I do everything.
I sure, no problem. You know, so I very, you know, well, how much do you charge? Well, let me talk to her about what she needs me to do, because I was just totally making this up on the fly. You know, I'm like, sure, I dog sit, no problem. You know, so I got off the phone with her and then got online and, you know, researched all the boarding kennels in our area and came up with a price that was like $2 cheaper, you know, and then called and talked with this lady. And I told her, I said, come over to your house. I said, not only take care of your dog, but I check your house. I'll do a walkthrough, I'll water plants, I'll collect your mail or turn lights on and off. And she was like, wow, you do all that for $30 a day? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, that's a really good deal. Yes, it is.
You bet. So, tell your friends.
You bet. Yeah, you know. So because I was a stay-at-home mom, and, you know, my husband and I had discussed me working outside of the home, mm-hmm. but he works in nuclear security, so he does not have a normal, like, 9-to-5 set schedule. So in because they were in preschool at the time, and my oldest was getting ready to go to kindergarten, just for scheduling purposes, it didn't really make sense for me to go, because by this time my teaching license had expired. So I would have had to go back to school to renew my teaching license. So I would have had to go get a job like at Walmart or something, you know, and my paycheck basically would be paying daycare. I'm like, we can't do that. Like, that doesn't make any sense, you know? And so, so I just became a stay-at-home mom, but when the boys were in school, I was like in the school of Dave Ramsey and learning how to coupon and learning how to, like, what else can I do to get some extra money? You know, that sort of thing. So
dog sitting, couponing, all kinds of fun stuff.
It was just all that stuff. But I learned, you know, and this is actually kind of a funny story, that I did not know that people wrote couponing blogs. So I learned to coupon by watching the extreme couponing on TLC. Kidding. Mm-hmm. And so I would watch that show and I would go, okay, that makes sense. I can do that. And I went out and got my papers and I was cutting the coupons. I had no system of organization. I had no, like, I was just like flying all over the place. And then I'd go and I'd be like, what do you mean I have to pay for my groceries? On the show, they get all that stuff for free. Like, you know, I don't understand that. Well, you know, and then I kind of learned that's because they kind of over-exaggerate the show because it's reality TV, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so one day I had gone to one of our grocery stores here where they had super double coupons where they double any coupon up to $2. So you get $4 off or whatever. Nice. So I was talking to a friend of mine. I was like, I got all these groceries. I mean, I think I got like over $100 worth of groceries. I only paid like $20 for it because by this time I had kind of perfected my own little system, you know, and figured out how to do things. But it was very much trial and error, you know, that kind of thing. And so she goes, oh, well, you need to meet my neighbor, Deli, because she teaches coupon classes. I went, wait, what? People teach classes on how to, like, I've just spent all this time trying to teach myself. And I'm like, there's somebody who teaches a class. Yes, I need to go through that. So I, of course, was like, when is it? When is it? She's like, Melissa, I don't know. Like, go on the website. So I went on the website and I went to the very first class and I'm sitting in the class and I'm like, you just taught me in 1 hour what I have been trying to figure out for 6 months. Like, I mean, it was just like one of those like, bah, you know? And so,
it's so true.
Yeah, so I left that class and I was like, oh, I need a binder and I need a book. And then I found out she writes a blog. I'm like, oh, so cool. All I have to do is read your blog and you tell me exactly what I need to do. And I go to the store and that's what happens. And she goes, yes. I'm like, I had no idea people did this stuff, right? So she goes, okay. And I'm like, no, seriously, I had no idea that like this was that. So of course, then from her blog, I found out about the Money Saving Mom. And I found out about like some other people that they were just starting out, but now they're like, you know, they're big name people, you know? And I was like, I can't believe that I didn't know that, you know, that kind of thing. So it was just one of those things. It was like, well, I guess that was supposed to be a learning experience for me in some way, shape or form, you know? So, yeah, so I couponed and we, you know, we made a budget and we stuck to the budget because, again, we didn't have any other choice because I wanted to be debt free on my 40th birthday. So that was my focus. But my most important focus was to my number one reason for paying off all my debt was to free up money to go see Elton John, because in 2007, I could not go to his 60th birthday concert at Madison Square Garden, which was also the 60th concert he had ever done at Madison Square Garden. So that's what's known as a once in a lifetime opportunity, you know? Yeah. And I couldn't go because we didn't have the money. And so I was like, this, I mean, and it really made me sad. And my friends went, and even when they came back, I was like, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it. Like, I'm glad you had a great time, you know, blah, blah, blah. And but it wasn't until, so that happened in 2007, but then I put Christmas on credit in 2009. So like in that time period, I knew something had to be done, but I couldn't figure out what that magic thing was. So I knew that making more money doesn't solve the problem, because the more money you make, the more you spend unless you're on a budget, you know, and unless you have a good mindset. So I did learn that lesson, that it didn't matter that we made more money, that didn't solve the problem.
No,
so,
it doesn't.
You know, so then it wasn't until, I said like the fall of 2009, my friend told me about FPU. I had never heard about it before. I really just kind of shrugged her off because I was one of those people like, you're getting out of debt. You're crazy. Why are you doing that? Right. Everybody
it's so
has
normal.
That. You
know? Yeah.
Like, why are you doing that? Yeah. Like, that sounds crazy. And why are you excited about it? I don't understand you. You know, like, because, you know, she was really like, I'm getting out of debt. I'm working on a budget. I'm like, weird. Yeah, like, don't talk to me. Yeah. You know? And so, I very reluctantly got on, you know, and this is just God has a great sense of humor, you know, because when I decided, when I was buying those Christmas presents on the credit card, I'm like, something needs to be done. I started researching all the people that were talking about money at the time. So like David Bach, Susie Orman, all those people that were on TV that I can never remember his name, the Mad Money guy that's on MSNBC all the time. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah, so I started researching all those people and started researching, like, if you Google how to create a budget, you get a bazillion different, you know, things. So I was started reading, and I was putting my own plan together.
Good for you.
And then I was like, yeah, my friend's going to ask me about the Dave Ramsey stuff because we live in a very small town. So of course, like people would know that I was working on this. I was like, I better go over to that Dave Ramsey site and pick something so I can say to her, well, I put this part in my plan. You know, it was really just to appease her, you know, so that she wouldn't be on my case. And I teach FPU at my church. And when I give my testimony to get people to sign up for the class, I go, I'd like to tell you that when I went to DaveRamsey.com and the website opened, that bird sang and a bright light shone from the sky. But that didn't happen. No. It was just that I just knew that's what I needed to do. Like I knew my husband was the one for me. Like I knew when we bought this house, like this, that feeling you get that you just know that you know that this is what it was. And I took all that other planning and I threw it in the trash and I just did the Dave Ramsey thing because it's a step-by-step process. Right. It's biblical principles, which appealed to me as a Christian. Right. And, you know, of course, all these testimonials and stuff like that. And I started listening to the show and all these people, you know, calling in, doing their debt-free scream. Yeah. And people that were in a higher amount of debt than we were and paying it off in less time. So that really encouraged me because I was like, they have $65,000 of debt and they paid it off in 2 years. Like, why do I got this 4-year plan for $43,000, you know? And it was just because that's what worked. Like we were not going to eat beans and rice. So like there were some compromises that we were just not willing to make, you know? And so because we weren't willing to just eat beans and rice for 4 years, well, then that means our grocery budget was a little higher, you know, and stuff like that. And we were not willing to just not ever go visit family ever again until we got out of debt. We weren't willing to, I mean, there were just some things that we weren't willing to compromise on, but there were some things that we were willing to compromise on. So like, looking back on it now, I understand that there is a reason that we went through the process the way we did. Right. But when I always coach my clients, I'm like, you know, if I had to tell you, if I went back and did it again, knowing what I know now, it wouldn't have killed us to eat beans and rice. Like, you know, it wouldn't have killed us to, you know, sell more stuff than what we had already sold, you know, that sort of thing. But at the time, we just weren't willing to go to those extremes in order to pay off all the debt, you know, that sort of
thing.
So
that's a common trend. I've been talking to a lot of people that are amazing, just like you, that are paying off debt and just living a totally different life. And that seems to be a common trend. You mentioned obsessive, quote unquote, common. I think that's pretty normal. I mean, anything you put your whole heart into, you do become a little bit obsessive about. You do.
Sure.
Sports, getting out of debt, like anything. But you also touched on a really key point too. And that is a lot of people still, they make some sacrifices, but they don't want to give up everything. Do you think that's important for people when they're getting out of debt to have that maybe one or two things that they feel like they can still do? Is that important to you?
I think it is because it takes a long time to get out of debt. Like anybody can give up something for 30 days, right?
Exactly.
Or 60 days or 90 days, you know, but it took us almost 4 years to get out of debt. You know what? I'm not eating beans and rice for 4 years. I mean, that's just not, you know, like that kind of thing. But it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, we maybe could have had two meals a week that was beans and rice to save us some money, you know, I mean, that kind of thing, you know? So, but we gave up, like we gave up soda, we gave up junk food, we just pared down the grocery budget to where, what did we absolutely have to have?
Right.
And every time I went to the grocery store, it was always, do I want to buy the bag of chips or do I want to pay down the debt so I can go see Elton John? You know, so it was just that, you know, it was that conscious decision-making process, you know, like, I'm like, do I want that or do I want, and a bag of chips isn't all that expensive, but if you're buying two bags a week or one bag a week, I mean, all that adds up after a while, you know? So I do think it's important for people, to have a life while they're going through the process, but not have so much of a life that it deters the long-term goal, you know, that kind of thing. Because it's important to not allow debt to be the thing that stands in the way of of what you know, like your dream is out here, but your debt is that brick wall, you know, that's right there in the way. And that's what I'm very passionate about is people, you know, people saying, You know, like there's a joke among our friends, like when we go out to dinner, we all sit down to dinner and go, and they, so one of my friends will go, okay, nobody at this table says, oh, I wish one day I could do that because Melissa's going to preach. You know? And we don't want that, you know, and it's become a funny joke. And I just take it in stride because it's true, you know, but, you know, cause we'll be talking about somebody going on a vacation, or like one of our friends is, they're in the process of buying a house that's in foreclosure, you know, and the house is beautiful and it's on acreage and there's a natural area that's behind them and blah, 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 you know? And so I'd be like, oh, I wish I could live in a house like that, you know? And then everybody's like, shh, you know, like, don't say I wish nothing, you know, that kind of thing. Because then my response is always, but you can. Right. You don't have to just say, I wish I could, I wish I could, I wish I could. Or, you know, oh, must be nice to be able to do blah, blah, blah. Yes. And so that's a lot of, we got not a lot of it, but there was a little bit of negative pushback when we remodeled our kitchen. Oh. Because we started the project in April and it was 9 weeks and we completely gutted our kitchen and put a brand new kitchen all back in its place. Right.
Man.
And so, you know, I was posting on Facebook and I did a couple blog posts about it. And, you know, a couple of my friends, you know, I say friends loosely, were like, you know, oh, it must be nice to spend all that money on a brand new kitchen. And my message back to them was, yes, it is nice. It took us 4 years to pay off the debt and almost another 3 years to save the cash to do it. 7 years we've been waiting to do this kitchen. And they write back and they go, oh, I didn't know that. But okay, well, see, so don't be like, oh, it must be nice. I'm like, we worked really hard to make that happen.
It's so frustrating to hear that.
Yeah, you know, and then it's yeah, I was just writing a blog post about this today about like people, you know, when you say my dream is blank, I said, those people that go, well, that's crazy. That's dumb. What do you want to do that for? I said, number one, that means you're on the right track because you've got a big, huge, crazy dream that people are like, wait a minute, what do you want to do that for? I said, and then number two, you need to run away from those people as fast as you can and don't listen to those people. And you need to go find your people, which are the people that support you and the people that get you, which are sometimes two different groups of people. So, and I always use the example of my husband because people always say, well, how does your husband feel about you going to all these Elton John concerts? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, when we started dating, I had this big poster of Elton John in my living room. So he kind of had a clue that this was my thing, you know? And so, cause I've been, 23 years I've been going to concerts, you know, we've only been together for 16 years. So he knew going into the relationship that this was my thing that I love to do, you know, that kind of thing. So he supports my dream and he supports whenever I want to go out of town to see Elton. We do our best to make his schedule work so that I can go so he can take care of the kids. But you know, if people said to him, do you get why your wife loves Elton John so much? He'd probably be like, no, not really, you know, and that's okay. He doesn't need to get it. Right. I just need him to support me, you know, and so sometimes the people who support you and the people who get you are two different types of people. But that's one of the reasons why I love going to the concert so much, because when I'm at an Elton John concert and I tell people I meet that my dream for 23 years has been to meet him in person, not one person tells me that's crazy or it's stupid or it's dumb, right? Because everybody is there because they spent their money to purchase a ticket to go see Elton John in concert. Mm. So I'm with a group of like-minded people, you know, because that's everybody else's dream too. They're like, everybody else would be like, yeah, that'd be great if I met Elton John. And then one of my friends will be like, no, 23 years Melissa has been diligently working on trying to meet him. And like, I've been to 29 Elton John concerts so far.
That's incredible.
And people go, oh, like this is only my second. Yeah. See?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, it would be nice if I ran into him in the hallway. But Melissa is like, no, I'm going to go and I'm going to be on the front row and I'm going to be, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Did you get a punch card for that too, by the way?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. This is number 29, you know, so yeah. But the last like 4 or 5 concerts I've been to, I've actually made a little sign and each one has said, this is my 27th show or this is my 25th, you know, like whatever.
Incredible.
And, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, cause I show it to the band and they look at it and they wave at me and you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you know that you're a diehard fan when you show up at the concert and the band looks at you and then they go, oh, hey, it's you again. You know, like, there she is again, right there. Yeah, you know.
That's so awesome, though.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of awesome, you know. And so, yeah, so that's, you know, and because, so I've been to 7 Elton John concerts since we paid off our debt. Mm-hmm. And so, it, you know, the more I go and the more I work on these things, the more I'm just like, why is everyone not doing this? Right. Like, why is everyone not pursuing their dream and chasing their dream and, you know, just doing everything in their power to make things happen? Well, it's because life gets in the way.
Yeah.
Money gets in the way. Mindset gets in the way. You know, there's...
1 second. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. It's okay.
Bobby. Okay. Okay. Oh, bear with me. Apparently, my significant other just came home.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, that's fine. We have 4 dogs, and sometimes 2 of them are here in the office. And when you know the garbage truck comes by, and I'm beyond the phone with a client, I'm like, I'm so sorry. The trashmen are stealing. The trashmen are stealing the trash again. I got to get the dogs out of the office.
That's like, so funny.
Every Tuesday, they come and take the trash.
It just so happens. So, I know.
Yes. So I totally get that. So you know, it's just the, you know. The money gets in the way, the mindset gets in the way, you know, just life in general gets in the way. You know, like my friend who is like, I'm so lost. I don't know what to do. I'm like, what, you know, like, what do you like to do? She's like, I love being with my kids all day. I'm like, outside of that, what do you like to do?
Thank you.
I don't know. I'm like, how do you not know? Like, I mean, you know, because for me to not know a life beyond just being a wife or just being a mom or just being a professional or just be, you know, whatever, like you can be all those things, you know, and not lose yourself
right.
in the process. But it takes a lot of work. First of all, you know, it takes number one, like a supportive spouse, you know, somebody who is there kind of cheering you on, who wants to work with you. And, you know, thank God that I have a husband that every time I come up with a crazy idea, he goes, okay, that's great. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, like, sometimes they're really big, crazy things. And he just goes, can you just think about that for a couple of days before we do anything about it? I'm like, yeah, I can do that. And, you know, and then, you know, so it kind of takes a little back and forth, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, so, you know, but he'll say, like, he'll come home from work and he's like, so how'd your day go? I'm like, well, I got signed up to be interviewed on 2 podcasts. I think I got a public speaking engagement. I got another client. And he's like, that's great. How'd all that happen? I was like, well, somebody posted in the Facebook group that they needed people on their podcast.
Isn't that how it goes? Like, it's that community.
He's like, yeah, he's like, well, who are these people? And I was like, well, these are people I met at FinCon.
Okay. I love it.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's very exciting, and it's very, it's awesome to have a spouse that is that supportive,
that's
you know,
huge.
that sort of thing. I mean, that's obviously very huge. You know, the other huge part is, we paid off all our debt, you know, so like going to FinCon, I run a debt-free business. And so I make good income and I don't have a lot of overhead. So when FinCon came available, I was like, hey, I have money to go to FinCon. Let's go to FinCon because Jessica said I should go.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So, cause for me, it was, I only live 4 hours from Charlotte. So it was just a draw, you know, an
oh,
easy
perfect.
Drive
yeah.
for me to get there. So she's like, there's no reason for you not to go. You know?
Exactly.
Like, okay. And so, you know, and truth be known, I went to FinCon not really knowing like what it was all about because I had never heard of it before. So when I got there and I was like, I'm at a conference with all these financial people. So I'm like with my people. I'm like, this is fantastic, you know? So, but I didn't realize how large the financial blogging community was.
It's
you know?
Huge.
And so, yeah. And that was the thing that really, like that I really took away from it is sitting on all these panels and going to all these sessions and stuff. And I was like, you make your living and support your family by writing a financial blog. And they're like, uh-huh. And I'm like, that's fantastic. And
isn't
you live
amazing?
In California or you live in, like, I'm like, live Like, you don't live in a tiny seaside town in North Carolina. Like, you live in all these big, huge places. And I'm sure they're all looking at me like, who is this person? Like, you know, but like, I, again, like with the couponing thing, I had no idea that like, this is what people do. Like, I, you know, like I read the Money Saving Mom and I read these other blogs and stuff like that, you know, and I'm just kind of like, oh, I get, like, there's more than just these five people that I read, you know, exactly. That kind of thing. And so that was, again, like, encouragement for me to, like, oh, maybe I need to blog more than just once a week, you know, or maybe, you know, and then it was, like, the affiliate programs and the, you know, the public speaking part. And it was all these things that when I look at my long-term business plan, I'm like, yeah, that would be kind of nice if I could figure out how to add all that in. And then I meet people at FinCon that are actually doing it and balancing it and do, you know, and I was like, well, I can just do what they do. Like, you know, I went to the Budget Nista, I went to her session, you know, and to listen to her talk. And then after what I was like, I want to follow your business model. Like, how do I get that? And she's like, get on the website, read about what I did and you can figure it out. I'm like, fantastic. I'm going to do that. So of course, like, soon as I get home, I'm like, thebudgetnista.com, like, we'll give everything away free. I'm like, this is what, you know, like, and I'm like, because, you know, I was in two, and again, I mean, this is just one of those things where, like, everything you learn in life, every skill you learn is a skill you're going to need for something else you're going to do later in life. So yes. I totally, throughout my whole entire life, I never once said, when I grow up, I want to be an entrepreneur. Like, that never came to mind. You know, I just kind of fell into doing this, you know? And so, like a lot of other people at FinCon, I found out, you know, that this is, they just kind of fell into doing it. But I was in a direct sales company for about 2.5 years. And when I was in that company, you know, I learned a lot of good skills that are things that I'm now doing in my business. And one of those things was, you know, everybody comes in with, you know, you have a party, you get your kit, you build your team, you know, all that kind of, you know, there's a direct sales model. And we were always taught you need to find someone in your upline that's the income level you want. And then you do exactly what they did to build their business. It's a replicatable process. You know, it's exactly not rocket science.
No.
And so that's what I've learned in my business. You know, like Dave Ramsey calls it best practices. You know, you find somebody that you go, I want to be that when my business grows up, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's, you know, like, I'm like, gosh, I want to do that. And I want to do that. And I want to do what that person does. And you're doing a podcast. Okay. That might be next year. Like, you know,
consider that. It's a good way to go. It really is. And Melissa, I'm just going to have one final question for you. And I've got, and unfortunately I have a 5 o'clock, but this is,
oh, gotcha.
We'll definitely have to Skype again. Cause I am enjoying this a lot. It's so much fun to talk with you.
Yes. Thank you.
So where can people go to learn more about you, your business, what you do? I mean, social media, anything and everything you want to spit out, go ahead and do that right now.
Okay. So, everything is Melissa the Coach. So it's melissathecoach.com. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Melissa the Coach. My email is melissathecoach@gmail.com. So, I at least got that part done right of the business of branding part.
Good for you. You know, that's huge.
Everything is the same. So, and all basically my website, melissathecoach.com, everything is there. My blog is there. All my information is there. So
love it. Melissa, thank you so much. It's been so fun chatting with you. You're an awesome person to talk with.
Oh, I really appreciate it. It was great meeting you at FinCon.
So. You as well. And I'll definitely be in touch again because this is fun. We'll have to do this.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll see. I hope you have an awesome night.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Melissa. Okay. So what did you guys think? I personally got the biggest kick out of Melissa's stories and just her sense of humor and the way she approaches personal finance. One of the funniest things that I heard from this episode that I literally like was ready to cry from laughing is when she says, do I want to buy the bag of chips or pay off debt to see Elton John? I love that. And it's just hilarious the way that she approaches that kind of stuff to say, look, man, this bag of chips is not worth it, but Elton John is so worth it. So I'm going to work really, really hard to pay off my debt. that is the level of commitment, as funny as it sounds, that you have to have in order to achieve your goals. So whether it's a big goal or a small goal, you have to commit. You got to go all in if you want to see those results. So love it. Thought that was hilarious. And I got a big time kick out of that. The other thing that I really appreciated was when Melissa was talking about her, the kind of that jerkish, you know, oh, what, you're doing a kitchen remodel. I mean, that's, wish I could do that. I love that because I thought that was so interesting that her response was, okay, yeah, it took me 4 years to pay off debt and then another 3 to save up for the kitchen remodel. I mean, that's how it goes. Yet so many people only see our highlights and the things that we think are cool. So don't be discouraged if you get a little bit of pushback, if you're already kicking butt with your money and you're starting to have fun with it too. You might get some pushback, and don't be discouraged if you're in that situation. Thank you so, so much for listening in to another episode of the show. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to this show, leave a review, and make sure you come find us in the private Facebook group. We'd love to have you and hear about all of your cool financial accomplishments. Thanks so much for joining in. I will see you guys next week on the Money Nerds Podcast.